Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
From murder scenes to sites of satanic worship, Randall Bell is the real estate guru called to value the most notorious houses of horror. He specializes in appraising properties where notorious events have taken place. He's consulted on the JonBenet Ramsey home, Nicole Brown Simpson's apartment, remember that? And indeed the gruesome story of Sharon Tate and the house she was murdered in. And Randall Bell has made disaster and tragedy his niche. And he joins us on the line from LA to explain why he has been dubbed the master of disaster in the property business. Quite the title, Randall. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
So, Appraiser of Doom, Master of Disaster, these are great names. And maybe you'd give us a little kind of a breakdown as to what it is you do.
Well, essentially, when a tragedy occurs, there's two elements. One is obviously very emotional, and I understand that, certainly. But there's also a practical side of disaster, and I work to basically measure the loss in property value. Whether it be the World Trade Center, I worked on that case, or Hurricane Katrina, or crime scenes. There's this practical issue of what is the property worth in the aftermath, and that's my specialty.
And when you say what's the property worth, are you just valuing it, or are you selling it on?
I consult in a whole bunch of things, the negotiations and so forth, but certainly valuation is a big component of it. And then also the strategies to try and make things better if we possibly can.
All right. Well, let's go back to the 90s. A lot of things happened then, obviously, that would have been pertinent to your business. You had the riots in Los Angeles, and you had the earthquake, Northridge earthquake, and wildfires in Malibu. And, of course, the O.J. Simpson case, all in one year.
It was a busy time, there's no question, and I happen to live in Southern California, and a lot of those things happened right here in essentially my backyard.
And when you take, let's look at the O.J. Simpson case. How did you get involved in that?
Well, the Brown family happens to live very close to where I live, and we have some mutual friends, when the murder occurred, Lou Brown, of course, was dealing with a lot of the emotional issues, or all of the emotional issues, but also he wasn't sure. He wanted to sell the condominium where the murder had occurred because they had a lot of bills to pay and so forth, and they didn't need the property. And so Lou asked me to help him, put it on the market. He felt that it was worth more because it was famous. And I had the very delicate responsibility to carefully show him that actually, because things aren't famous, or things are famous, doesn't necessarily mean that they're worth more. In fact, they were worth less. And so we had to discount the property. And in the meantime, it was hard to get a buyer. And in the meantime, we had to rent it. And so it was just the whole cycle was something that Lou needed help with, and I helped him.
I remember that apartment, Randall. So it was so globally notorious, was it, as a building. So how do you sell or at least rent a place like that without spooking people?
You don't. You tell the truth, and you play the hand you were dealt. And obviously that property was extremely famous. I'd be there on a Tuesday morning to do something, and there would be a line of 30 people outside from literally all over the world at all times around the clock. But you just tell the truth. You deal with what you're dealing with. You don't try and sugarcoat things. But the thing about real estate is that if you discount things, you will find a buyer. It's a matter of getting the right buyer and the right discount.
So to the vulgar topic of money, then, how what was the condo worth, and what did you eventually sell it for?
Honestly, that was a while ago, and I don't recall the numbers. But I can tell you generally that with crime scenes, you're looking at discounts on the low side of 10% up to maybe 25%. I've seen some rare instances where people actually pay full value, and I've seen rare instances where people they actually command a premium. But generally speaking, it's kind of a 10 to 25% discount rate.
Okay. And other cases that will resonate with listeners this morning is include the JonBenet Ramsey case. Remind us of JonBenet Ramsey and her story, then, if you would.
Yeah, that's a sad case out in Boulder, Colorado, and I think she was about 7 years old. This poor little girl was kind of in a beauty pageant world, and she was missing one morning. There was a ransom note, and the police came in. Frankly, the police didn't know what they were doing, and they let too many people into the house, and they contaminated the crime scene, so the crime was never solved. Eventually, the little girl's body was found in the basement, and to this date, there's nobody in jail or prison because of it. The crime's been unsolved officially.
That property was listed for sale for $1.9 million. What became of it?
Well, it sold. The Ramseys, again, had these practical issues of what to do. They wanted to move to Atlanta across the country. And they asked for my advice on what the appropriate discount would be. I don't recall the exact numbers, but I do recall it was somewhere in that 10 to 25% range. Yeah. They discounted it, and they sold it, and they moved. It was it was a very famous case, but in terms of real estate, it worked out rather conventionally.
Do people ever say to you, okay, there's Nicole Brown Simpson was murdered in that house. JonBenet's six-year-old body was found in the basement of that house. Do they ever feel that the house might be haunted or that there's just a bad vibe off the place?
Well, clearly these situations, spin off a bad vibe. There's no way around it. As far as being haunted, I can tell you I've never seen a ghost, and I've never really wanted to either. But I can tell you that if someone is creeped out by it and they don't like it and there's a bad vibe for them, my advice is don't buy it. And also, I would caution people not to buy these properties with small children, because I've seen the situation where the parents buy it because they get a discount or because they love the house anyway, but the kids in the neighborhood won't come over for parties, and they won't come in the house and hang out with the kids there because they're afraid of it. So that's a big worry.
That's a huge worry. The mansion where Michael Jackson died, again, that was another property that would have been of interest to people. Can you talk about the numbers for that?
Well, I don't recall the numbers. It's a big mansion. It's surprisingly right in the middle of things. I think it's in the Beverly Hills, right off Sunset, if I remember right. They were trying to sell it, and that was essentially a rental. I think, from my memory, I think what they did is they rented it, which is interesting because it's relatively easy to rent these properties versus selling them. Selling them is tough, but trying to find a renter that will come in temporarily, that's relatively straightforward and relatively easy.
Why is that?
Well, it's because buyers are putting down their hard-earned cash, their euros or pounds or dollars or whatever, and you're putting it down, and it's a more permanent mindset, and so people are more reluctant to buy these properties. Renters have a more temporary mindset. It's like they're here temporarily. There's no big down payment. They might be there for a year, and if it becomes a problem, they can up their stakes and move really quickly. That's essentially the mindset.
I understand, Randall, also you represented the owner of the site where the hijacked plane Flight 93 from the 9/11 time crashed. When we say you represented the owner of the site, in what respect to do what?
Well, I did a number of things. This Flight 93 crash site in Pennsylvania, and essentially at the time, there was the U.S. government was not... the term is condemnation. They couldn't condemn the property. It was against the law. So the owner wanted to build a memorial. And he was also looking for people that were kind of more aligned in that business or those charitable things. But he didn't find any. So we were actually strategizing to build a memorial. Literally, while we were doing that, there was an act of Congress that changed the law, and the U.S. government did condemn the property, and so I was asked to work with him in terms of testifying in court in terms of the value of the property. What was very interesting about that case is in New York, which I also worked on, the value went from the two towers to down to Memorial, But in rural Pennsylvania with Flight 93, the value actually went up to a memorial. So same disaster, same day, two different properties. One had a negative effect on value, and the other had actually a very positive effect on value.
On the subject, just bouncing back in a minute, on houses that are the venue for grisly cases, such as JonBenet Ramsey, the Sharon Tate, the Charles Manson murders, and so on. Is there a case, as has happened in the UK, I know a lot, where they just tear the structure down and say, no, it's just too grim, it's too sad, it's too awful, and they just tear the place down? Would you go for that as an option for some houses?
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I actually went to Scotland with that very sad situation where there was a school shooting. It wasn't a house, it was a gymnasium, but they tore it down. Exactly. I've been there. I've met with some of the parents and people that have their children go there. And it was really a very interesting case for me to look at how it was handled. They tore the gym down, then they rebuilt a new one on the same footprint, and they went forward the best way they could as a community. I actually consulted on the Sandy Hook school shooting in Connecticut, and I met with the mayor, I met with the chief of police about the house where the shooter lived, and ultimately the bank, which had a mindset of just doing whatever was right for the community, the decision was made by the community leaders to bulldoze the house. I facilitated that negotiation. I worked with the bank. The bank gave the property to the community, and the property was bulldozed. That only happens in rare circumstances, and generally speaking, there's not really an advantage, because stigma attaches to the land, not to the building. So if you bulldoze the building, you still are left with that stigma attached to that land. But in very certain rare circumstances, like that case in Scotland or that case in Connecticut, it's the appropriate thing to do, because the memories are just too horrible, and you're trying to make things a little bit better for those victims' families.
Randall, thank you so much for your time today. It's been good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All the best. That's Randall Bell there. What a kind of a dark but fascinating line of business to be in. The